I said, you know, it's not bad. I go old school, you know. I used to walk around with a Bible in my hand and preach out of the Bible. Believe it or not, I still preach out of the Bible, but I have a lot of notes to go with it. So anyway, the idea of being free in Christ, and you know, Paul even warns at one point. He says, don't use your freedom as an occasion for sin. In other words, we're free, and what does that mean? I think a lot of people in the world who don't have Jesus Christ don't know that they're not free. They think they're free. They think that they can, you know, do whatever they want. And, you know, while we in Christ are free, but I'm not sure we understand what that freedom means, right? It definitely doesn't mean that we do whatever we want. Freedom begins with what we talked about last week. I'm going to see how this thing, there it is. It did it. Okay. Freedom begins with what we talked about last week, and that is that we are joined with Jesus Christ, right? And what Paul says to us, he asks the question, should we continue in sin, the grace abound? And then he says, don't you understand that when you were baptized or when you were clothed with Christ, right, you identified with Jesus. He says, you died with him, you were buried with him, and you raised with him, and the resurrection is to a new kind of life. And that to me is such a powerful presentation of the gospel. That, you know, what does justification by faith from God mean, right? It means that we are identified and joined with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. And we live as Christians in that resurrected life, right? And so he tells us, he says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ, right? So how do I look at myself, right? And for some of us, that might be a little harder. For me, and it's been, you know, like 44 years since I became a Christian. So it's getting, the memories of the stuff before that are kind of faded. I don't, you know, and sometimes I wonder, how well am I doing? And if I stop and really think about the old man and the man that died and the man that was buried, right, I can start to say, okay, I'm definitely not that old man. God has done something. Maybe in my case, the transition was stark. It was major and pretty much a miracle of God. It just happened, you know, very quickly that I moved from you know, death to life. And I know that's not everybody's experience, but we still should count ourselves as dead. And he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about the body and the passions, and we'll see that in a minute, the passions of the flesh and how that goes. So basically, freedom in Christ begins with the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. And the idea of reigning, you know, we have a little bit of a difficulty understanding what it means to have a king, right? To have a king reigning over you. Kings were absolute authoritative. They owned you. If a king didn't like you, they'd kill you like that. And nobody would be able, there's no court of appeal, there's nothing. And if the king wanted your land, it was his, right? Kings exhibited absolute rule. So the word used here, ruling over, is actually a word used of a king ruling over somebody, right? So don't let sin reign in your mortal, and literally it could be dying body. You know, don't let sin reign in this temporary vessel that we walk around in until God perfects us and gets us out of this thing, right? So that you obey its evil desires. Obedience is something, we talked about this last time, and the term slave is probably, while it has this terrible connotation in our culture, it's probably the best word to describe the relationship, because a slave doesn't have a choice. A slave can't say, well, tomorrow I'm going to get another job, or you know, I'm going to get me another boss or something. They were locked in. They had no choice but to obey. They had no freedom of the will. They had no ability to do anything except for what they were told, right? And so he says, you know, don't let sin reign so that you obey. And that's, I mean, you get the subordination of it, that you're going to follow whatever it says because he's your king, right? He says, don't let sin reign so that you obey. And then this word evil desires, and this is where I'm going to miss my notes, because Romans 1:24, he said, God gave them over, and you could translate it the same way, evil desires are the passions of the body. And that led to homosexuality, disgusting practices of sex, and that kind of thing. And that's how he describes evil desires in chapter 1. In another place, he talks about it, and he says that the evil desires lead you to become a child of wrath, right? So the idea isn't, and I know we make mistakes and we're not perfect, but that's not this. That's not, obeying evil desires, the passions. We have these thoughts. I told you this last time. You have these thoughts that come to mind or these ideas, and you know they're not right. You know you don't want to entertain them, and you don't want to follow them. And I mentioned last week, I would walk around saying, "The Lord rebuke you," every time one of those came to my mind. And that's where he said, don't let those things enslave you and become your king, all right? Why? How do we have... how do we have the opportunity to do that? Because Jesus Christ died for us and died with us. Jesus Christ was buried, and we were buried with him. And Jesus Christ was raised, and we were raised with him, right? In other words, we have a power in Christ to do different. And I mentioned this because you have to realize that people without Jesus Christ have no power to break free. They can't break. And this is where I say, they think they're free. I do what I want to do. I live the life I want to live. And I do, whatever comes to my mind. And it's okay because I'm a free person. And actually, he used to say they're being led like a dog on a leash to one thing after another that's very destructive, right? This is a verse, the next one, that we teach our kids. It's the green verse, the hard verse. Therefore, do not offer the members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as one who has been brought from death to life, and offer the members of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. And we talk to the kids, I say, look, your hands, your mouth, your eyes, your feet, everything can be used for something good or something bad. Every part of you can be used as an instrument of righteousness or an instrument of wickedness. I talked to them about their thumbs that they use to text, So those can be used to encourage somebody and praise somebody or help somebody, or they can be used to diminish somebody and cause pain and bring them down, a rotten word coming out of your text, right? So every part of us, and we're supposed to, again, look at God and say, Father, right? I've been brought from death to life. I now serve you. I now live for you. I want to offer the members of my body as instruments of righteousness. I want to be yours, right? Again, we think that's normal. Don't you? Don't you think that's normal? I want to do what's right. I want every part of me to do what's right. And when we mess it up, we feel bad about it. We don't want to be that. But we really want our members to do what's right. We want every part of us to be dedicated to God and holy to God, right? And then he says, sin shall not be your master. And that word is kurios, or a form of kurios, lordship, right? Like Jesus is our Lord, not sin. So he says, sin shall not be your master, shall not be your Lord. We talked about this with Adam and Christ, right? Either you're under Adam and he's your Lord and you're trapped in sin and you're still chained to sin, or you're in Christ and he's your Lord and you're free from the power of sin. Now, and when I say that, you say, well, you mean I'm perfect? You mean I'll never do anything wrong? No, that's not what it means. And that's why I say being free, we need to understand. What does it mean? It means, by everything that God has done for us, by the grace of God, by his powers, and we'll see that in a minute, that we have the ability to continue to walk with God and to desire and to submit and to say, Lord, please use me and my instruments, every part of me, for righteousness, right? The gospel is a beautiful thing. It really works. This is where sometimes, you know, I say Christians, we have to be confident in this gospel. I pray, God, you know, help me in my faith to walk in an absolute assurance of every word you've given us, every part of the gospel that you promised us, because it is powerful. I'm not the old man. I'm not the man that needed to die on the cross. I'm not the man that needed to be buried under the earth, right? I'm not the man who belongs in heaven yet either, because I haven't been glorified, but I'm not the man that I was before I knew Christ. Christ has freed me to be righteous, to serve righteousness. I like the Ephesians way. He put Ephesians 2:8, but in verse 10, he says, for we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto righteous action, right? So that's the gospel. People apart from Christ really don't think that way. And they don't, even if they want to think that way, they don't possess the power to break their chains. They think they're doing well. They think they're okay. But they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the truth of God, those things, to help them understand what it means to be enchained and what it means to be free. And then this is the next question he asks. Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Now again, grace is the power of God. Just think of grace as the power of God. And the word grace, I've told you many times, it means God helping us, right? If I'm looking for help, and I'm not looking to God, I'm probably wasting my time a bit, right? Because, I mean, just think of all the places we might go to help and how powerless those things are. But my goodness, you realize how powerful God is, who calls universes into being, who gives life to that which is dead, who takes soil and breathes life into it, who makes us a living soul. God who has all of heaven and all of eternity in front of us. Nothing else in this world empowers the way God is able to empower. So the law, rules, you know, Buddhists follow 8 of them. Muslims follow 5 of them. The rules, people write them down for themselves. I'm sure there's all kinds of books that you can find rules to live by. The 7 Healthy Habits of the Successful Heart, or whatever that one was, written by a Mormon, and read in many seminaries and churches. You know, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, that's what it was. Yeah. No, not the law, but grace. And he says, now does grace lead us towards sin? That's his question, right? And he, you know, Meganeto, never let it be. Never let that idea come. If I just follow the right rules, I'm okay. No, I need a walk with God that is about grace and faith and righteousness as a gift and all that we've heard from the gospel, right? Then he says, and this I've told you before, but this was a very special verse to me. It says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Now that verse, I told you, I sat in a room. I was in dire straits. I was crushed in my soul. I had a bag of marijuana in one hand and a Bible in the other. And I was reading this very verse. And it says, don't you know that whoever you choose to serve, he will be your master. And I said, oh, wow, I've got a choice to make. I've got a decision to make. I need to decide who I'm going to serve. And it's interesting that God gives us that. Again, people apart from Christ don't have that choice. We have a choice. We have freedom of the will. God has restored in us the ability to choose to follow him, to choose to obey him, to choose to walk with him, to choose to live under his grace, right? I took the marijuana outside and dumped it all over the yard and read the Bible and prayed, and within months, God took me to a place and he just absolutely miraculously changed my life, right? but we choose. It says, when you offer yourselves, and this is a good, and it's right, I present myself to you, mighty God, to serve, to obey, to follow. How many of you, in your heart of hearts, say, I want to be that person. I want to obey God. I want to be his servant. I don't want to be a servant of anything else in this world. And in that, you are taking upon yourself the work of Jesus Christ. Because no one outside of Christ can make that decision. No one outside of Christ can have that power to say, Father, be my master. Be my Lord. Be my King. Rule over my life. And help me to obey you. Help me to follow you. That's freedom. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to call upon the name of the Lord and seek to follow him and obey him and treat him as he deserves to be Lord, right? He says you choose between whether you're going to be a slave. And again, that slave is, am I going to be absolutely dedicated to listening to God, or am I going to listen to sin? Which one? And he doesn't say there's a gray area. And this is where I think as Christians we have to understand the freedom we have leads us to obeying God. Again, don't say we're not making mistakes. Not saying we don't mess things up. But at the same time, we're never destroyed. We're never done. We're never calling Christ a failure or the gospel a failure. That's where people get, we'll see in Romans 7, they get very confused. And a misreading of that is poison to this section of Scripture. This section of Scripture says you're free. You're free to serve God as your Lord. You're free to not serve sin. You're free to please God in righteous action, giving your members to him, right? He says you're free to do that. Chapter 7 says you're not free. So it can't be about Christ. It can't be about Christianity. We'll get to that when we get to it. But we want to serve not sin, which leads to death, but God, the Father, which leads to righteousness. We'll fill that in a little bit more. And again, just we've talked about righteousness, haven't we? Chapter 3 brings up, you know, God gives us righteousness. It's logizomai, it's given to you. And then he says, you know, Abraham received righteousness when he believed God. And righteousness, David said, blessed is the person who receives righteousness as a gift. We receive that righteousness. Some people, you know, they call it justification, which means God declares you righteous, but that's not the end of it. It becomes a dynamic power in the Christian life to do what is right, and it only comes from Christ. A dynamic power to do what is right. If we are connected to God, if we are connected to Christ, if we have the Spirit of God and the truth of God, we are connected to a dynamic power that leads us in paths of righteousness. Right? Okay. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. Now, how many of you think of yourselves this way? How many of you think of yourselves this way? Because this is what Paul says Christ has done for us. He says, you know, we had a choice to make. God has given us freedom in Jesus Christ. And he says, praise God, thank you, God, that we used to be slaves of sin. And folks, slaves don't have a choice. When I was in my old man, that old life, I'd wake up in the morning wondering where I was going to get high, wondering where the party was, and it didn't stop all day long. It was active service. That's what this is talking about. All these verbs are active. Active obedience, active service to whatever. It's not a passive thing. It's not a passive thing. Being a servant of God is not something I did 10 years ago. Being a servant of God is something I do every day. And sometimes in our prayers, we need to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What do you need me to do to serve you? And so often our prayers are the other way. Lord, how can you serve me? How can you help me? How can you give me? And God does. He helps and he gives and he leads. But God, how can I serve you? And I tell you, God answers those prayers. God answers those prayers. He'll lay someone or something on your heart. He'll lead you towards righteous service. A way, you know, how do I use my members to serve you today, Lord? How do I use my resources to serve you today, Lord? How do I do something that's pleasing to you, Lord? Service to God, it's active, constant, looking to God. And he's thanking God. And again, I think I know some of you well enough to understand. You think that way. You think that way. You think, I want to serve God. I want to find ways to serve God. I want to please God. I want God to smile upon me. I want to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Same word, servant, slave. Well done, right? He says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them enslaved to righteousness, leading to holiness. When we offer ourselves to God in service, it brings about good things in our lives. We were talking about that in Sunday school, the idea of what does it mean to serve a living God. It brings about good things in us. We break off from service. We break off away from God, right? From seeking God, looking to God. Break off from that service. It might break us off from righteousness. It might break us off from holiness. It's a dangerous thing. It's why, you know, when people are kind of missing from among us for a while, we pray for them. We worry for them. That they're not losing their way and not listening to the wrong master. But God calls us to serving him, and that service leads to righteousness. It's a way of thinking. Now, I want to go back to what he says. Where does all this come from? Hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching. And it's called the Didache. Which is some people think there was actually a Didache, a book, that told you this is what you're supposed to believe. But in Romans, it's the idea that all people have sinned and are silent before the throne of God unless God gives them a Savior, an atoning sacrifice, who then gives them righteousness when they believe from God, and then gives them peace with God, and then gives them a new federal head, Jesus Christ, and then gives him unity with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection, a new life, right? You follow that form of doctrine which you heard, and it leads to all these good things in God. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. And I don't like to talk, some things I never talk about from my old life because they're so bad. Because when you serve sin, when you're a slave to sin, when that power is not broken, it leads to horrible results. And that's why I tell you, just, you know, turn on the news. People scratch their head. Oh, mental health is the real problem. I'm sorry, it's not. Sin is the real problem. Sin is what drives humans to do horrible things to each other. Sin is what causes people to do unexplainable things, right? Sin destroys. It destroys souls. It destroys homes. It destroys nations. It will destroy the world, right? And so he says, when you were slaves to sin, you didn't do right. You did things that now you're ashamed of. Those things lead to death, and that death, of course, is hell, right? But now you've been set free. Again, now this one, passive, meaning it's been done to you. Again, am I really free? You have been set free. The power of the gospel is freedom to serve God. The power of the gospel is to choose righteousness. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. Now he's my Lord. Now he's the one I listen to, and I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice but to say, yes, Lord. not out of being chained up, but out of thankfulness. Yes, Lord, the one who gave me a Savior. Yes, Lord, the one who gave me the truth of the gospel. Yes, Lord, the one who gave me the Holy Spirit in my heart. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, right? Because of who he is and what he's done. He says, you've been set free and have become slaves to God. And the benefit leads to holiness. So you have righteousness and holiness out of service to God. Active service. Remember that. Lord, how do I serve you? How do I serve you? Right? And that results eventually in eternal life. And the last line, some of we all know this, the wages of sin is death. Too many people in our world are stuck in sin. Too many people in our world do not know God, do not follow God, think they're free, but they are slaves to sin and destroying themselves and everything around them. And that's a very sad world. It's a very sad end. The gift of God, and this is a heart of the gospel, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We alone possess the ability to tell people the truth. We demonstrate our freedom by serving God. We speak the words that bring about life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're united with Christ, and we willingly, lovingly serve God actively. Amen? Amen. Now the phone actually worked. I don't care. Who's normal? Oh, yeah. Crystal window.
With Christ on high, with Christ on high. my Savior, my God, my Christ, my Savior, my God. In Himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by His blood. My life is saved with Christ on high. With Christ, my Savior, my
Father, we thank you so much that through the gospel we've been set free from sin, so that sin no longer has mastery over us. We pray, Father, that each day we would know that we're dead to sin and alive in Jesus, and that each day, Lord God, we would ask you to help us offer the parts of our body to serve you, to please you, and to do what serves your kingdom. Be with our church, Lord God. Just pray for the peace and unity and love of our church to grow and increase. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.